20 minutes past 6, welcome back to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. Time now for an update on the situation pertaining to COVID in Linasia and surrounding areas. Joining us on the line, Dr. Fatima Minty. Dr. Fatima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What's your assessment in terms of the current situation in Linasia and surrounding areas? Is the peak over? Is it still likely to get worse before it starts getting better?
July seemed to be a very busy month for most areas in Gauteng, and to us it seemed that we did peak in July. According to the government statistics, the levels have been dropping and leveling out, so maybe we could call it the flattening of the curve, or inshallah we could be coming to the end of COVID. The COVID will still be around for a while to come, but not at the numbers that we were seeing in July. Generally, our winter season starts mid-July and extends right until the end of August. So I think we should all just hang in there till August is over before we get too excited that we've come to the end of COVID. Inshallah, with the spring coming in and the warmer weather, we're hoping that COVID will settle.
I was reading an article over the weekend where they seem to be suggesting that there wasn't much of a flu season this year, perhaps because of all the protective and preventative measures that people are taking due to COVID. What's your experience in that regard?
So they say that there's always research done by the National Institute of Communicable Disease, and they've actually found that there hasn't really been a flu season, as you have said. But we have to take some things into consideration, I feel. One being that patients were probably scared to go to the doctor to say that they have flu symptoms and probably got into the bed, took the concoctions and got better. And that could have been just the normal influenza. The other thing was COVID-19. We found that you have to take a few other things into consideration in that when people do a COVID-19 test swab, there is a 30% chance of what we call false negative, so you have to take that into consideration as well. And if you put all the factors together, perhaps we did have a bit of a flu season, but it wasn't enough to be documented. So normal flu is also deadly. Every year people do die from normal flu, but COVID was slightly different from normal flu in that it was more deadly, in that it caused clotting in the body, and that's what resulted in the increased number of deaths with COVID-19. So there's no clear answer in that did we have influenza or didn't we have influenza, because you have to take various epidemiological factors into consideration.
Now, with so many people having contracted COVID-19, the big question seems to be whether you can get it again and how soon.
From the studies that have come out thus far, they're saying immunity lasts for 2 to 3 months. In saying that, there's also what we call T cells or memory cells in the body. And these would recognize COVID-19 if you had to get it for the second time. The thing with COVID-19 is that there are more than one strain. And what we suspect is if you had it badly the first time, inshallah, the next time would be milder. We're not sure if you were asymptomatic or mild, how would you react the next time if you picked up the different strain. So in saying all of that, we still emphasize that people need to continue taking all the necessary precautions after they've had COVID-19. So washing their hands, wearing the mask, social distancing, not touching your face, avoiding big groups of people. So you're not safe forever. That's what the research is showing.
So if we say there are various strains of the virus and it's mutating, then the 2 to 3 month immunity, does it apply to the other strains as compared to the one that you had? So if you were positive and you recovered, can another strain of the virus catch you immediately, or you still have the 2 to 3 months buffer?
You do have the 2 to 3 months buffer. Is the virus... So that's why I say we talk of T memory cells, and those actually act as the buffer. And that's why we're saying we're not even, with COVID, everything is, we say, unprecedented or novel. We don't have enough information or too much information. So from the studies that they have done, these are the answers that I can give you, is that you may be safe for 2 to 3 months, but then you need to be careful again.
The issue of a vaccine, even if a vaccine is developed and tested and passed and cleared, are we likely to get rid of COVID? Or is it going to be a situation like it'll become one of those viruses that are there, perhaps not to the extent that we are experiencing now, but ever so often it'll increase and decrease and you'll get the vaccine and then you'll have to get a booster. What are the prospects of total eradication when it comes to COVID-19?
Total eradication is a possibility. So, like the Spanish flu in 1918, it was around for 2 years and then it just disappeared. So, similarly, COVID-19 could be around for 6 months. Well, now it's already going to be around for 9 months from the time it emerged in China. They probably going into what we call a second wave or second peak because the Northern Hemisphere is going to be entering their winter season soon, and their population sizes are different from ours if you look at countries such as China, USA, the bigger countries. So there will be what we call mini outbreaks along the way. And as you've asked about the vaccine, so if you look at the normal yearly annual flu vaccine that we do, is the vaccine lasts you for that season. So I think similarly, COVID-19 would, if you had to vaccinate, it would last you for that winter season. And so instead of just taking perhaps a flu vaccine, we would be taking a flu vaccine and a COVID-19 vaccine until all the surveillance that is done by countries shows that the virus has, inshallah, disappeared. So though we have a vaccine, we don't have many answers for that because it's only once they start administering the vaccines and then monitoring what's happening within a country, can they tell us whether the COVID virus is still around or it's totally disappeared?
There's been a lot of talk and focus on the physical impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, but mental health has also been affected in these very challenging times, especially for women. It is Women's Week, and we bring that into focus. What's your experience in terms of women in the forefront as healthcare workers, women who unfortunately have been exposed now to gender-based violence as a result of the regulations and restrictions, and the overall issue of mental health?
With women's health and mental health, many different factors have taken a strain, or areas, I should say. So initially, yes, healthcare workers working in hospitals, working as paramedics, working on the front line, have experienced mental exhaustion, physical exhaustion. They've been taken away from their family where they've isolated themselves and they stay on their own, so they have had no contact with family members. So it's just to protect their family. They haven't seen their family for months now. So they've been under a lot of physical and mental strain. When it comes to people in the community, we're looking at teachers. Teachers are now they've been doing things very differently now. So they are under a lot of mental strain because I always say it's difficult now teaching kids over an online medium or WhatsApp medium. So they've been experiencing a lot of issues in their teaching. Moms at home are experiencing a lot of difficulty where initially with lockdown, they did not have domestic workers. They didn't have their support systems like the grannies and the aunties and the uncles who assisted them with their kids. They had lost that. And now moms were having to clean the house, perhaps work from home, and see to the kids at home. So parents or mothers really had a lot of strain where there was a lot of extra burden on them. And then, unfortunately, with this pandemic, people have lost income. So that has put a further strain on families where it's now not only mental issues, but it's mental issues related to the financial situations within the home. And because of perhaps pressures building up in homes and with lockdown where people were cooped up in their homes, this has resulted now in gender-based violence in that people were taking out their frustrations on their spouses. And it has resulted in a lot of problems. And we're feeling that post-COVID or post-pandemic, there is going to be a big surge in mental health illness where people are going to be suffering with depression, anxiety, and due to all the social stresses that they've experienced during these last few months.
Dr. Fatima Minty, shukran as always for your time. Really do appreciate it.
Ameen.
That was Dr. Fatima Minty, GP in the Lanesia area, giving us an update on the latest in terms of the COVID situation in our region and also chatting to us about some of the broader issues pertaining to COVID-19.